Hey you guys, welcome back. I'm so blessed to worship with you. Zach, thanks again for leading for us and leading us into his presence and worshiping Jesus even more. Hey you guys, I'm heartbroken. There's just so much pain and agony that's going on. There's also a lot of joy that's going on. But right now, I just want to cry out to God with you, and I just wanted to pray. So would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for being so awesome and so present, and I so desperately need to see you. In this world, we have so much chaos. We have so much pain. We have so much agony, and there's a lot of division. God, thank you for making all of us in your image. Thank you that we're your people. Thank you, God, that you are the best dad ever. And forgive us for going astray. God, I pray for those of us who are in your kingdom that we would actually be that city set on the hill that you talk about. And we wouldn't be quiet about what's wrong. And we wouldn't be quiet about what's right. And that we wouldn't try to figure out how anything other than you are going to fix us. But God, help us not to slam people for not knowing you. Help us to introduce them. Help us to be the bridge that you've called us to be to your son, Jesus. He is the only way to you, and he is the only hope. And you have called us to be people that introduce people to you. Help us to do that. I pray for the families that are reeling from all of the chaos that's happened and the murder that's happened. And God, I do pray for the George Floyd family, Breonna Taylor family, God, so many others that have been murdered, have been taken advantage of, have been maligned, have been scared just because of the color of their skin. God, I barely have any kind of clue what that's like. But I know that you've made me who I am, and you've made us who we are, that we would be your image bearers, no matter what color, no matter what country, no matter what finances we have. God, help us to honor you. Help us to glorify you. Help us to bring others to you and bring life to others and be good to others. God, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys, okay. Brokenhearted as I am, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful because of who Jesus is. Look, we started this series not knowing all what's going on in the world. Some of it not. But it's in 2 Corinthians, and it's called Influencers, a different kind of kingdom. You know, we're all influencers. We're influencing somebody, and we're all certainly influenced by someone or many somebodies. Some of us are just right now like, gosh, what do I do? How do I do anything? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Talked about it in communion. I'm telling you again right now. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's not just the author, but he's the perfecter. He's the completer of our faith. And so he's the greatest influence, and his kingdom is so different. In his kingdom, the throne is a cross. I mean, the slain lamb is on the throne. He paid the price for us. He's lion and lamb. What a great dichotomy. What a great mix that is, right? Well, hey, friends, today we're going to talk about a different kind of something. But the last 2 weeks, we talked about a different kind of kingdom, and we unpacked it like this. There's a different kind of influence. The way up is down. A paradox of giving your life away. Paradox, right? It's something that's seemingly contradictory, but it's actually true. A lot of times we try to avoid paradoxes. Like, to live, we have to die? Huh. And so last week we talked about a different kind of glory, and you can go check out more about that. But today I want to talk to you about joy. And I wonder what you think joy is. I wonder what it means to you. There's a lot of people that have a lot of different definitions of joy. Most people just kind of settle with, well, it's being happy. I think joy goes beyond happy. Happy feels really dependent on circumstances. But joy is beyond circumstances. But for the sake of an argument, for the sake of just talking about it today, I want to talk about joy as truly what fulfills you, truly what makes you happy. And so the first one I want to tell you about right here, right out of the chute, is from the book of James. It's James 1:2. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. What? how in the world can you count it all joy? You know that phrase, it's all good. Is it all joy? How can you count it all joy? Well, that's a different kind of joy. That's a joy that is sourced somewhere different than our circumstances and than us. Look, I'm going to ask you this question right out of the chute. Are you settling for a temporary joy or a limited joy while missing out on an overflowing joy, a joy that lasts forever, right? This overflowing joy. Look, I want to move around. So here, I'm going to move over here, and then I'll move back over here, and now I'll come back. Do you have any clue how very challenging life is for other people in other countries, other communities, other skin colors? And yet many of these people who struggle significantly in ways that we don't have a joy. They have a bursting forth energy, a joy, a fulfillment, because their joy is not sourced in themselves. They've got an overflowing joy because they've taken their eyes off of their own situation. They've taken their eyes off of how messed up this world is, and they've fixed it on the Lord, and they're not looking for a temporary fix. They're looking for eternal overflowing joy. And so, again, I'll ask you, what's your source?
What's your source?
What does that even mean? What's your source for joy? I'm going to try and challenge you on that by saying, often our source is something that's temporary. And if it's not, then praise God. You know Christ, you're finding it in Him. But often it's temporary. And we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians to look at an answer for this. In 2 Corinthians 5, 13 through 17, give you a chance to turn to it. John's going to have it on the screen for you. But here you go. What is your source of joy? Let's unpack this and how Paul actually found where his joy was sourced. He says, look, if we're beside ourselves, if we're out of our mind, it's for God. If we're in our right mind, it's for you. Looking to God is weird and out of this world. And we definitely look crazy to the world. But remember, He takes the things of this world and He uses them to point people to Him. All right, I'm going to get distracted if I don't keep going. All right, listen to this. If we're in our right mind, it's for you. If we're making sense, it's going to be for you. But if we're out of our mind, it's for the Lord. So if you're crazy, be crazy about Jesus and for Jesus. For the love of Christ controls us. This word is so rad. I looked it up. It means compels, like corrals us. It actually pushes us. The love of Christ controls us because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. All that are in Him have died to themselves. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. Here's your source, Jesus. Jesus. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. There's a couple things in here, right, where He says no longer. Now, that we might no longer live for ourselves. We would die to ourselves. We don't look at Jesus as like from the flesh, from our own worldly eyes. We don't look at Him as just some dude. We look at Him as God. God in the flesh. God who gave Himself, right? And died and rose from the dead. So we no longer look at Him that way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Friends, this is, I think, the first Bible verse that I memorized as a young adult. I was 19 years old and I came to Christ. And I actually came from a really messed up background and was a really messed up person. Now, I'm still messed up, Praise God, I'm not messed up in those old ways, but I still get in the way and I still think of myself as God sometimes, and I still think that I could do a better job than him. And he keeps calling me to the fact that he's making me new. I'm not that old Aaron. I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, it says in the NIV. And this is so about where our source is. Is your source in you? Because you are limited. If your source is Jesus for joy, for true fulfillment, for contentment, for happiness, is him, then it's outside of circumstances because he's always God, and you're never, ever going to be left hanging by him. That's such good news. And if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And so is your friends who are in Christ. Encourage them, remind them, tell somebody right now, hey, you're in Jesus, you're a new creation. Hey, are you in Jesus? You're no longer that old person. You're no longer that past mess. You're a message. You're a loved individual of God. Can you do that? Will you do that? Take time even right now. Because there's a joy of being new. There's a joy that's like, look, man, Romans 8, again, one of my favorite passages in the whole entire Bible. You just can't be separate. We can't be separated from the love of God. There's a joy in being new. And we're going to talk more about that. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, brought us back, made it all right, made it all better. He reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus reconciles us, but wait, there's more. He actually includes us in helping others be reconciled. He gives us the ministry of reconciliation. We're going to keep going. This is 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 6:1. 5:19 through 6:1, he unpacks what it looks like to be reconciled and be reconcilers, to not just OD on Jesus, but to actually share him with people. And in so doing, you get more of him. Yes, I'm so excited about this. I almost jumped. There, I did it. All right, look, this is what it's like. Jesus reconciles us. He saves us. He brings us to be one with him and one with the Father. But he doesn't leave it at that. He's like, let's go get some more people. Let's share this. Let's stay fresh on this. Let's not stay stuck. Let's not just get saved and become stagnant. Let's actually run this race that we talked about and that he talked about in Hebrews 12:2. All right. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. I'm not holding all your stuff against you. You're new in me. Remember, making you new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old is gone. The new has come. Let the new keep coming. Reconciled. Your transgressions not being held against you. Instead, you're reconciled, and then you get to reconcile. Therefore, we're ambassadors. We're the king's messengers. We are here in a different kingdom, the kingdom of the world. But we are not of the kingdom of the world. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of God, which is a different kind of kingdom. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. This is a struggle, especially when people don't want God. But you keep with it. You keep being this ambassador. Again, I'll say this over and over again. Jesus called us a city set on a hill. We're the light of the world. He's the source, it says in John 8:12, right? I am the light of the world, but he calls us the light of the world too. He's not confused. When we're in him, we're like him. We're little Christs. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Is it that simple, Aaron? Can you just come back to God? Yeah, you can be reconciled because of Jesus. He paid the price, friend. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. What a great exchange. What a great transformation. What a great deal. He became our sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And Jesus didn't stay sin. He died, and that sin died with him. And so we're working together with him, it says in 2 Corinthians 6:1. We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Don't receive it in vain. What are you going to do with it? Look, I want to read for you something, and it's going to be on the screen for you. But our circumstances, good or bad, are temporary. They're temporary. Thus, making them the wrong place for us to seek joy, to find fulfillment, to find contentment, to find happiness. True joy, as we just read, comes from what Christ has done for us. He was the only one who could do this, the only one who could pay this price. So our true joy comes from what Christ has done for us and from what he has promised for our future. And seeing him transform others. He's promised us that we get to be a part of that, this ministry of reconciliation. Friends, I want to keep going on this unpacking, on what it looks like to be involved in this ministry of reconciliation, to know that we are set free and that our joy is founded in an unlimited source, Jesus Christ. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacles in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Listen to how this unpacks. By great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. These are all really difficult things. And we commend ourselves by being steadfast in it, hanging in there, great endurance, running out the race. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left hand. Righteousness. I want to tell you something about this really quick, righteousness. In Ephesians 6, we find out about the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. God's word is our sword. Having our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And then the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. Not our own, but God's. Do you remember earlier we just read, we become his righteousness as we are in Christ Jesus. And simply put, we surrender to the truth that he's God and we're not. All right, so we've got these weapons of righteousness for our right hand and our left hand. Through honor and dishonor, he says, we hang in there. Through slander and praise, we are treated as imposters and yet are true. We're treated as unknown and yet we're all known. We're treated as dying and behold, we live. We're punished and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. We've spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. There's nothing. We're not holding anything back, Paul says. You're not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak to you as children. Widen your hearts also. Open up. Let Jesus in. I got a little math equation for you here. Truth plus love equals joy. Those are hard, man. Truth and love, that's difficult. That's challenging because they seem to be different, right? On different ends of the spectrum, and yet no. Jesus is God and he is love. Jesus is God and he is truth. He's filled with grace and truth. He's filled with love and compassion, mercy, and he's the judge. And so he's saying through his man, Paul, look, we're not restricting you. What your affections are for and how you fulfill those affections, that's what's restricting you. And so he comes at some stuff here. I want to unpack this a bunch, but I'm actually going to try and just let it sit where it is. You know that little saying, I'm just going to set this right here. I am going to set it right here. And I'm going to point out that God knows you and he loves you. And he's calling you and me to be reconciled, to be made right before God. And he did that. He did the heavy lifting on that. But you and I have to join him and we have to say no to ourselves. And so he says to him, look, I speak to you as children, open up your hearts. And so 2 Corinthians 6:14-7:1. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What does that mean? I know that you and I don't have an agricultural background for the most part. Some of you that are watching probably do, but the reality is I don't, and I've had to have this explained. And so you've got a really strong ox and a really weak ox, and they're pulling a plow. You can imagine that if there's different strengths, different sizes, that's unequally yoked, and they will go towards the one that's strong. They'll go towards one direction or the other, and it's a mess. And I could explain it a whole lot more, but the reality of this is God's word is saying, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That doesn't mean don't love people and go and share Christ with them and be influencers for them. It's saying, don't tie yourself into them. Marriage, dating. Look, man, seriously, understand this. God is warning you ahead of time. Don't get into business with people who are non-Christians, people who are unbelievers, because they don't have the same management as you. They run their own show. And so what happens is we find ourselves compromising when we do that. And if we would have considered ourselves stronger, we actually start going towards the unbeliever and accommodating the unbeliever and giving in to the unbeliever. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial, which is another name for the devil? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. He's letting his people know, look, you're holy, you're different, you're set apart. That doesn't mean you say to the world, go to hell. You know what it means? It means that you follow Jesus. He's your big deal. He's your winning shot. He's all you got, and you're good with that. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Boy, that's a mouthful. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus is another way to say it, right? Let us cleanse ourselves. Let us move apart from the things that are tripping us up. And let's focus on God. Let's love Jesus. Let's live for him. In a world that thinks that's crazy, are you willing to share with the world who isn't going to get better without Jesus? Are you willing to share with them what really needs to be shared? Maybe even by not participating in what they're doing. Look, we only have a little bit of time left, but I want to call you to something. I want to call you and I to see beyond our circumstances. Look beyond. Remember, we talked last week about what is unseen is eternal. So see beyond your circumstances. Trust Jesus. He works. He's the only one that does. He's the only, everything else is temporary. Only Jesus is eternal. I mean, we're going to be eternal. We're either going to be eternally separated from God or eternally with God. You can't earn that, but you got to live it out. A tree is known by its fruit, right? We're going to know. We are going to know. And we get to repent and we get to start over. But see beyond your circumstances. Trust Jesus. Put your faith in the eternal rather than the temporary. Those are the takeaways. Those are the things that I want to encourage you with. I want to finish with 2 Corinthians 7, 6 through 10. Because some of us need to repent. Some of us need to turn back to God. All of us will need to at some point. But some of us have been fearful and we've been, oh, God only, God only. Amen. But you've actually not been following him because you've been bound by fear. You've been bound by intimidation. You've been bound by these traps for our souls. And we can turn back. Not everybody has that problem. I get it. And I'm talking to a specific group of people, a bunch of broken people. Now that does include all of us, but some of us are walking with Jesus. Some of us are stoked about him because we've repented and we turned back. But some of you haven't. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 7, 6 through 10. But God, I love that. Big butts of the Bible, right? But God, listen to this. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you. As he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced joy still more. Look, I love this. I wrote this little note a while ago. There's loving support system, and it is to help us and to encourage us, to give us comfort and to give us joy that we rejoice. And it's a comfort to have companionship, to have people with us that are following Jesus. And it's our grounds for rejoicing that we are together with God. And he says, I still rejoice more. But then he takes a turn. For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, he says. For I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while. He was bummed out that he grieved them with his letter, right? And that he had all these problems with the Corinthians and he challenged them in a letter. And it bummed him out that it made him grieve. But then he got the proper perspective because he's like, well, wait a minute. It was only for a little while. And here's the good that came from grieving. As it is, I rejoice. Not because you were grieved. He's not like finding joy in that. Remember 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not rejoice in the wrong of others. I wasn't rejoicing because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. Yes, Lord. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Whereas worldly grief produces death. This is just sorrow. This is just grief. This is just pain and bitterness. It doesn't lead to a change. It just says life sucks and then you die. Hey friend, do you want Jesus? Do you want to trust him? Will you trust him? Will you be part of the ministry of reconciliation? You got this all dialed in. You really know this is true and that people have a second chance, a third chance, a millionth chance. Will you go and share that with somebody today, tonight, this upcoming week? That's it. I'm not going to keep going. This is a different kind of joy. Can you see it? It doesn't mean bad things won't happen. It means we have a way through and we have a joy that lasts forever because of Jesus. This is a different kind of kingdom where you and I, we are not the king. Jesus is. If that's for you, he's calling you. He's made you awake. Walk in that. Live that. Share that. If you're like, nah, man, that's not it. we need something else other than Jesus, then I'll be praying for you, because I can't wait for you to turn to Jesus. You don't have to be like me, but you do need to be in Christ. That's the only way you can be made new. It won't be yoga, it won't be money, it won't be drugs, it won't be a new job, a new car, a new house, a new wife, a new husband. It'll just be Jesus. He's the only one who can make you new. God, I believe this. I trust you in it. I lift up my dear friends, my family, to you, that we would be reconciled to this new kind of joy, this new kind of kingdom, this different kind of joy and different kind of kingdom. And that we would live it out, because our world desperately needs it. I thank you for this morning together. I thank you for your powerful word. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. I pray this in Jesus' perfect name. Amen. God bless you. Be strong and courageous, and let it be contagious. I'll see you soon. Can't wait. Hey, pay attention to the announcements, because we are going to be getting back in the building soon, very soon. Probably Father's Day. We love you. God bless you. Shalom.